Take your Bible, go back, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 27, where the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And I want to speak tonight on being a leader in the home, being a leader in the home. I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and pass those out, if you will. And that way you have an outline to kind of go along with what I'm teaching tonight. May I say, I believe that the foundation in which our nation rests upon is that which is a foundation that's established by our homes. It is very important that we have the right type of home. If we have the right type of home, you won't have trouble in the nation. But it is important that we have the right type of home in order to be able to honor God and to be able to understand how God wants us to govern our individual lives inside of that place that is called the home. Let me say this. I'm so glad. Miss Wells and I have been married now over 28 years now, and it has been wonderful. Two more years, we'll hit that 30 mark. And it is great to be able to have a wonderful wife that supports you and that walks beside you and that is a helpmeet to you. And I praise the Lord for her tonight. And so let's look at that verse one more time as the ushers are making haste to get those out. Does anybody else need one? Anybody else need a flyer tonight? Okay, right here on the front row, we missed John. John is missing one. Okay, all right. Anybody else missing one? Okay, all right. We're getting Oscar right there, that group right there. Okay, over here, Matthew right there. Super. All right, you're doing good. Fellas, you're doing good. All right, just keep your hand up until they come to you. This is called physical exercise in church. And so just keep your hand up. We won't start without you, I promise, okay? And so Mrs. Wells and I give you a little bit of insight, I guess. Every year I have done a little bit of fasting, and I do different types of fasting. And so Mrs. Wells and I are right now doing a juice fast together. And I tell you what, we're drinking some of the most horrible stuff you have ever thought of in your life. And we're trying to figure out how to make it nice, but there is no nice way about it. And we started on Monday, and we'll go for a while. But anyway, boy, you know, some of the stuff we're putting together, I don't think God's in it. And but it's terrible, you know. We put all sorts of greens, and then we try and put some carrots in there and apples to make it sweet. But it's just not sweet enough for me. And we're going to stay with it, but it's interesting. Back in your Bible one more time where it says, for those that just got a paper to follow along, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he them, him, excuse me, he, him." The Bible says male and female created he, them. Let's talk about this tonight. Let me just shoot right into it. Statement number one, God created each man and each woman the way he wanted them. Now, by the way, you listen to me, there's a lot of changes where a man will change over to be a female or a woman will try to change over to be a man. May I say that is not of God. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 14, he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So God made you exactly who he wanted you to be. So there should be no changing over from a man trying to be a... I was soul winning in Manila one day, and there's this lady, so I thought, and I went up and I started to witness to her. And man, she had the features of a woman, but she had the voice of a man. And the pastor that was with me said, they call them shims, is what they call them over there. He said, that's not a him and that's not a her, that's a shim. And I said, oh, I never heard of that one. But I tell you the story. I was preaching over there, and there was this person. And I told this about a year and a half, 2 years ago. There's this person. We go everywhere to preach, you know. And so I was preaching in a cosmetology center. And there's all these people in this cosmetology school. And so they need the gospel too. And so I just go anywhere I can get a crowd. And so while I was preaching there, and people raised their hand that they received Christ. And we had a whole bunch of people that came from the cosmetology center that night. And they several walked down the aisle making their profession of faith. But this one person walked down the aisle. And as she walked down the aisle, you know, she came forward to get saved. She didn't get saved at the school, but she got saved that night. And so she bowed her heart. She received Christ as Savior. And then when she came down that night, you know, she had the real tight blue jeans on. And she was decked up with she had a dress on that night. She had a dress on that night. She came down. The next night, I preached, and it was the last night of the conference. And I extended the call to full-time Christian service. And here comes this woman. She had pants on that night, but she's walking down the aisle, and she surrendered to preach. And so I looked over at Brother Nobby, I think it was, at that conference. I said, "What do you do with that?" And he said, "Well, you're the one that gave the invitation." And I said, "But it's your church, your pastor, you know." And I remember, what do you do with that? And so I'm walking down the aisle, you know. I think there was 14 or 15 surrendered to preach that night. And so she is standing over there, and so I'm walking and shaking all their hands, congratulating them, and I'm wondering, what am I going to do when I get there? You know, and when I shook the hand, Brother Nobley came down, and he said, "Let me tell you the story. She met with me last night, and she really got saved, but she is not really a she is really a he." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes." And so she got saved, she surrendered to preach, she signed up for Bible college as a he, went through Bible college, and is now helping in a church somewhere. Well, that's amazing. You mean God could save somebody like that? Yes, God can. You know, do you understand that God is in the saving business? Do you understand that God wants to save everyone? Do you understand that? All right. And so God did create you the way he wanted you to be. God does not want you to change over. If God created you to be a man, God wants you to be a man. God created you to be a woman. God wants you to be a woman. All right. Now, by the way, play the part. Don't be somebody that tries to play the role. You know, we got more women nowadays that's trying to be masculine, and we got more men nowadays that's trying to be feminine than you can shake a stick at. But don't do that. You be the one that God created you to be. You got a bunch of boys, you know, they're walking around and they got all sorts of jewelry on and stuff like that. You got a bunch of girls that's walking around, and they're big and bulky. You know, it's like, come on, take me on, I'll knock you out. Well, you know, it ought not be that way. It ought not be that way at all. You know, God created you exactly who he wanted you to be. Now, live the part. Live the part. No guy wants to come home and say, "Honey, I'm home." And all of a sudden she says, "Oh, it's about time," and grab the guy and wrestle him to the floor and say, 1, 2, 3, gotcha. You know, no. Play the part that God has for you. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou, it says, has created all things. It says, for thy pleasure are they are and were created. So God said, I created everything for my pleasure. I didn't make a mistake. And everything that I've created for my pleasure. Statement number one, God created each man and each woman the way that he wanted them. Statement number two, men and women were created uniquely different. Uniquely different. You know, the Bible says that God formed Adam. Listen to it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. And the Bible says, and Adam was first formed, then Eve. Okay, so there was the forming of Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the Bible says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And so he's the very first one. Somebody says, well, who was the first man? Well, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, there's an emphatic truth there that is just a straight truth where the Bible says the first man, Adam. So there was not a man before Adam. The Bible talks about how God made her from the rib of Adam. By the way, that's the closest thing to a man's heart. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man," listen to it now, "made he a woman and brought her unto the man." So what did he do? He took of the rib and he made the woman. By the way, he did not take of that which is the foot bone for her to be trampled upon. He did not take from that which is a part of the skull for her to be mentally abused. But he took from the rib. The closest thing to man's heart is where he took and made the woman from. All right? Then we understand this. We understand that God created each man and each woman the way that he wanted them. Statement number two, we see that man and women, we understand, or men and women were created uniquely different. We understand that men, talk about the husband, and the woman, talking about the wives, possess different responsibilities. There's different responsibilities that God gives the man, or the husband, if you will, and different responsibilities that God gives the woman, or the wife, if you will. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 3. Here's what it says. "And I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." All right, so he gives a divine order of how it is, all right? In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you see that children are supposed to obey their parents. They're supposed to honor their parents, okay? Brother and Mrs. Wilson, come up. Brother and Mrs. Brian Wilson. Emily, come too. All right, watch this if you will. Here's what you understand. We understand in the Bible that God gives a divine order. Now watch this if you will. And so we have a divine order that God has given. So God says, I want you to understand that divine order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, "I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ." So man has a head. So Dr. Bulkley, help me if you would. And so we're going to line it up right here. So Brother Bulkley, if you'll go right here. And so we have that which is God, okay? God is the head of that. Turn around this way, if you will. And God is the head of that which is Christ. Okay, all right, and so Dr. Smell, if you'll come. And so you have God that is the head of Christ, all right? You have Christ that's the head of the man. You have the man that's the head of the woman. And you have the children that's underneath the authority of mom and dad. Now, that is God's divine order. God's divine order, by the way, the Son has never disobeyed the Father. Everything that the Father has said to do, the Son has done, okay? And so he has been a champion of the faith that was passed down from God the Father to God the Son. All right, now, wait a minute, it doesn't stop there, though. Underneath that which is God the Son is that which is the man. The man is supposed to get his orders from God himself. The man is supposed to get his orders from that which is Christ, which is his head, which goes to that which is God, which is the head of Christ. And so now, by the way, when he obeys Christ, he obeys that which is God, because you have a perfect line here. All right, now here's a problem. We have men that's inside the home that will not do what they're supposed to do, and it leaves the woman, if you will please, all by herself. Now, I thank God for ladies that's in this room that you're rearing your children without a spiritual husband. I thank God for you. I thank God for you that come to church, that are where you're supposed to be, and you don't have a spiritual head to help you make a spiritual decision. May I say that he's doing wrong because he is supposed to be the head. He is supposed to be the head. But when he defaults in his responsibility, somebody has to pick it up. Now, if nobody picks it up, that child does not stand a chance. The Bible says that a child left to themselves bringeth the mother shame. So when a child is left to themselves to make their own decisions, they're going to wind up making the wrong decision. Man has one responsibility only, and that is to bring pleasure to God and obey God. That's what he's supposed to do. He is supposed to do what God leads him to do according to the scriptures. He's supposed to be obedient to the word of God. Now, if a man chooses not to be obedient to the word of God and a mother is standing there all by herself, then she doesn't have a choice. but to decide that I'm going to try to obey God. She doesn't have a choice. If she wants her daughter or son or whatever to be able to turn out right, then she has to make that choice of obeying God. All right, but here's another dilemma that we have in America. We've got a dad and we got a mom that won't obey God. So the daughter or the son has to decide we're going to try and obey God all by herself. Now, by the way, that's hard. When he is not in the right place, it is really hard on her. When she is not in the right place, it is extra, extra, extra hard on her. You see, God has a divine order. Now, we're supposed to be in that order. I am not, as the man or as the husband, I am not supposed to dispute with Christ, with God, with the Word of God. I'm not supposed to dispute what I believe is right. I'm simply supposed to obey. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to decide, well, this is the way I want to live my life. No. I'm supposed to decide I want to live my life the way God says through His Word, given to us through His Son, given to us direct from heaven, delivered unto us through the apostles. I am supposed to obey that Word of God that was delivered to us by holy men of God. I'm supposed to obey that book. Now, if I decide that I'm not going to obey that book, now wait a minute, what should she do? She ought to try and stay as in line as she possibly can, and the daughter should try and stay in line as much as she possibly can, but I'm telling you, the farther it gets down the road, the harder it is. You take a child that's 6 years of age, you think they're going to make it? You take a child that's 8 years of age, 9 years of age, you think they're going to make it? You think they're going to start making spiritual decisions? And be not fooled, parent. You listen to me. When Jesus was in the temple, around 12 years of age, He knew to be able to tell that which was Joseph and Mary, I must be about my Father's business. So even at the age of 12, He understood the will of God. Even at the age of 12, he had a discernment about what was right and what was wrong. So don't underestimate your children when they're young. Well, you know, when they get a little bit older, they'll be able to discern things about the will of God. No, you'll be surprised. The Bible says out of the mouths of babes that God does that perfecting of praise. God is the one that uses the mouths of the little ones. All right, now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, the Bible says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, but I suffer not that women, now watch this, it says to teach or nor to assert authority over the man, but to be silent. Verse 14, listen to it. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. All right, now we understand that man and woman are they are created differently and they have different responsibilities. Did you know inside of the home, the woman makes up her strength is her emotions. That's her strength. Her emotions, however, when in overdrive, becomes that which is her weakness. So God gave her the ability to be able to have emotions. But when she puts those emotions in overdrive, not trusting the Lord, then what takes place is the very thing that is her strength that God created to be her strength now becomes her weakness. Here's the man. God created the man with logic. But if man will put his logic in overdrive, then he begins to think that he's wiser and knows more than God. Therefore, logic in overdrive, when he's not doing what God says to do, becomes his weakness. So whatever your strength is tonight, you have to be careful that you go to God and you let God be the one that governs that strength that's in your life, because that strength that is now presently existing in your life becomes the very thing that's going to destroy you and destroy your family and destroy your kids if you're not careful. Thank you. Be seated. The weakness of the husband is that logic in overdrive. The weakness of the wife, if you would, is that emotion in overdrive. I've heard ladies say this. I've heard women say this. Well, I tell you what, I need to do this because I feel that it is right. You never make a decision based on a feel that it is right. When you do that, that is an emotion in overdrive. You have to understand that God wants us to balance all things through the Word of God. God has given us the Word of God as our final authority. God has given us the Word of God for us to obey. This is not a book that you look at and say, well, I'll read it when I want to and I'll obey it when I want to. And by the way, you listen to me. You have to understand that when God gave us the Bible, He gave us the Bible as a guide, as a book that helps us to be able to understand the very mindset of God and how to be able to get the blessings of God. It's not some book you hold over somebody's head and pound them four times. Hello. But it's a book that when you read it, God blesses you. Matter of fact, He even says there is a blessing for reading it. So when you read it, He blesses you. When you obey it, He blesses you more. When you step out and do what God says to do, then God says, I'm going to bless you for doing what I said to do. He wants to be the one that governs our life. I said, step number one, God created each man and each woman the way that He wanted them. Statement number two, man and woman, if you will please, were created uniquely different. Statement number three, men, talking about husbands, and women, talking about wives, possess different responsibilities. Statement number four, husbands were created to lead. The wives were created, listen to it now, to be the husband's help meet. Now, by the way, that's a scriptural word. Notice in your Bible, Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. And all the single men said, I will make him an help meet for him. Now, what is the help meet? What does that mean? A help meet is somebody that goes under and lifts up. That's what a help meet is. That goes under and lifts up. All right? So is there going to be times when your husband is going to need somebody to come under and lift up? Is there going to be times when your husband is going to need somebody to encourage him, come under and lift up? Is there going to be some times when the wife can not only just be a word of encouragement, but is there a time when you can help your husband with other matters, no matter what their matters are, by coming under and lifting up? Yes, there is. And that's exactly what the wife is supposed to do. Now, the husband's created to lead, and the wives are created, if you will please, to be able to help the husbands as they do lead. It is a companionship. It is a working together. All right? The Bible says over in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 14, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. Listen to it now. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. So every woman in here has a natural desire to be that one that pleases the husband. Why is that? That's the way God created you. God created you with a natural desire in your heart to be able to please him. And the Bible says, and he shall rule over thee. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. The Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives, it says, be to their own husbands in everything. Now, wait a minute. As God says to that wife, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to submit to the husband. He also comes back and says something to the husband. See, God gives the placement that we're supposed to be. Now, we're not supposed to undo the placement. In our society today, everybody's trying to undo the placement. You're not supposed to undo the placement that God has for you. You're supposed to fulfill the placement that God has for you. When you get out of place, that's when the problems begin to develop inside of the home. When you get out of place, that's when all of a sudden the problems begin to emerge out of the home. God has a place. Now listen to me. The place that God has for you is where you're going to find the blessings of God for your life. Right. Watch this, if you will. Statement number five. The husband, father, is to lead. Now listen to this. Stay with me now. But it says the husband, the father, that is to lead as he follows Christ. So how's the husband supposed to lead? Well, he's supposed to say, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, we beseech you, brethren, it says, to know them that labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, and it says, and admonish you. So there's a part of leading there. Verse 13, it says to establish them very highly in love for their work's sake. So what are you supposed to do? Establish the person that God has placed in your life very highly. Okay, let me give you an incident. How many of you remember the Rodney King incidents that was in Los Angeles? You remember that? The Rodney King incidents years ago, Los Angeles. Here's what they did. Let me tell you what they did. The media took that and they ran it over and over and over and over and over. They ran it into the ground. Now, when they ran that thing into the ground, I think the devil used that, because here's what happened. After that, when people were asked about policemen, here was the word association that came up. When they mentioned the word brutal, all of a sudden, policemen came up. Just by mentioning, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Word association. What's the first word after they ran that video over and over and over again? And by the way, it wasn't right. Are you listening to me? It wasn't right. But here's what happened. The media took that and they ran that thing over and over and over again, to the point that when they started asking people that saw that video, when they asked them, what do you think when we mention the word brutal, they said, police. Now, see, if the devil can take and confuse you on the position that people hold so that you don't give them the due respect that they ought to have, the reverence they ought to have, yea, the love that they ought to have, then what happens is he uses that to distort the total relationship. That same poll that they took, they mentioned the word immoral. The word association with somebody was immoral was evangelist. How sad. They mentioned the word corrupt. The word was politician. They mentioned the word deadbeat, and the word was dad. Now, how sad when you take a poll like that. But what happened was, what was going on is that it was distorting that authority. When you distort somebody's authority, it changes their thought pattern towards that individual, and it changes the way that that person would direct themselves. You know, the Bible talks about how over in Psalm 119 and verse 8, the Bible says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And I'm going to show you something in a minute how this all plays out. Psalm 118 and verse 9, the Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All right? So what is a person supposed to do? They're supposed to put their trust in the Lord. But how does a person do that? Okay, well, you think about this. A wife might say, well, how in the world can I expect him to lead? Or a child might say, well, how in the world can I expect him to lead? Well, here's how you do it. You know he's husband. He is husband. He's father. He's the appointed one of the home. He has a God-given position. It's not about personality. It's about the position that God has placed them in. And God says to the man, I expect you to do right. I expect you to lead. I expect you to be the spiritual one in your house. That's what God says. God is putting the man, if you will please, under a wrench, and he's turning it pretty good and saying, you need to rise up and you need to just be a man. You need to be the one that leads out in the spiritual thing. By the way, are you listening to me? It ought not be the women that goes to the altar in any church in America more than you would see young men and men go to the altar. The men ought to lead the charge when it comes to being spiritual. There ought to be more men out soul winning than women. There ought to be more men driving buses across America than women. Hello? There ought to be more men preachers than women. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now watch, here we're getting in some key words here. That if any obey not the word, all right? So preacher, how in the world, if I got a scoundrel that's a husband, how in the world can I obey him? How can I do that? Well, first off, your strength cometh from above. God is the one that gives you strength. God is the one that gives you wisdom, all right? Listen to it now. The Bible says that also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, what's that talking about? The word conversation means lifestyle. All right? So here is a woman that is obeying, but she's obeying. Oh, okay, watch this. Okay, stand up. This is Pilate. And here's Pilate. Now, by the way, listen to me. You'll find the story in John chapter 19, Pilate. Okay, here's what you have right here. So you've got Pilate, and the Bible talks about how Jesus, if you will, subjected himself to that which was above him. Now, listen to the verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, talking about Jesus, committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, by the way, Pilate, I don't believe, judged righteously. But, come here if you will again. Will you come here? But Jesus was not submitting himself to Pilate, stand behind him. What Jesus was doing is Jesus was submitting himself to the Father through Pilate. There's a difference. Well, I'm not going to show up on time because after all, I've got a scoundrel that's a boss. No, you submit to God and do right by God through your boss, whether your boss does right or not. Well, you know, I just think that, you know, I deserve this, and so I'm going to take off early. No, you submit to your boss, but you submit to your boss only by submitting to God through your boss. That's what the Bible's teaching about here. See, so how do you get this likewise? If you'll notice this, watch, this is neat. If you'll notice this, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Well, how do I do that, preacher? How in the world do I submit to my husband if my husband is not doing right? Okay, just like we gave the line that was right up here just a moment ago, you try to submit through your husband to God. Through your husband to God. Now, by the way, you listen to me. If your husband is not going to tell you to go out and get drunk, go down and do the dish rag twist or the skunk skedaddle, go down and do something wicked. But if your husband is saying, honey, would you fix me a meal tonight? I haven't eaten in 4 weeks. I'll be begging you for that later. But would you fix me a meal to, all right, and he says that to the wife, that then what happens, you listen to him, that wife ought to not look at everything else that he's done wrong and say, fix your own meal, big boy. In your face, Bubba. No, what she ought to do is she ought to submit. Are you listening to me? Knowing that God is the one that's the directive. Hello? All right, see, here's teenagers today. Here's teenagers. Teenagers say, well, I tell you what, I am not going to obey my parents because my parents are not right in everything. Well, duh, nor are you. You're not right in everything. Well, you know, they don't deserve my respect. You respect your parents by respecting God through your parents. That's how you respect them. Come on, my dad drank. My dad would come home many times on a Friday night, and he'd be drunk. You listen to me, but never one time did I do anything to cause disrespect between him and my mother. Never one time did I call him a name. Never one time did I antagonize him or anything like that. Why? Because I knew that I should honor the position of my dad. He was my dad. Look, I don't agree with a lot of things that President Obama does. Just be honest with you. I just don't agree. Okay, now wait a minute. I might not agree with his principle, but I'll tell you this. If he was to walk in the room tonight, I would stand. Because he is not Obama, he is President Obama. So I would honor him because of his position. See, for those of you that's here tonight, and you say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to honor my parents because, after all, look who my parents are. You honor your parents because you're honoring God through your parents. You obey your parents because you're obeying your parents, or you listen to me, by way of God helping you to obey your parents. So many times we give up. We look at the human flesh and we say, well, I'm not going to obey them. And I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're a boss. I don't care if it's a mom. I don't care if it's a dad. And I'm telling you tonight, you're wrong. You need to honor them because of the position that they hold. He is still your dad. She is still your mama. They are still the one that God has given authority over your life. And you listen to me, Mom, for you to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to take and obey my husband because after all, look at this, 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 and this. You're misunderstanding the way that God set that up. God has put, okay, Dr. May was here for 25 plus years. Is that right? When I became pastor here and he went into evangelism, we changed positionally. And I'll tell you what, Dr. May honored me. Honored me. He would come to my office and he would say, you're my pastor and I don't want to make a decision unless you say it's okay for me to make that decision. Not one time did he come to my office and say, well, I tell you what, you know, I'm just being honest, but he didn't come to my office and say, this is the will of God. He came to my office and said, I'm praying about this. Would you pray about this with me? You know why? There's that honoring of that position. All right? And so what takes place is this. What takes place is God puts a daddy in a position. God puts a mama in a position. God puts, and come on, as a man soweth, I believe this with all my heart, that shall he also reap. As you honor your parents today, you cannot tell me that God is not going to work in your child's heart later on so that they would have an understanding of how to honor you. You know, it is important that us, we understand that God gives us that position. God puts you in that position. Now, what do you do with that position? Here's what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake. So how are you supposed to esteem your dad? You're supposed to talk about him behind his back? Is that what you're supposed to do? Are you supposed to talk with your siblings about everything that you disagree with about your mom? Is that what you're supposed to do? Is that honoring them? Is that esteeming them in love? Are you supposed to get in the backyard and talk about everything that your mom and your dad has done wrong? Is that what you're supposed to do? Is that esteeming them in love? Are you listening to me, wife? Are you esteeming that husband the way you should? Do you talk bad about your husband to your children? Do you talk bad about your husband to other women, to other men? Are you esteeming them for who they are? You see, if we would just practice the Bible, God does a very good job in helping. You say, well, okay, so what if I, where is your wife here? Can you come here? Oh, she's asleep. Okay, why don't you go away? You got a daughter that's asleep. No, not the wife. The wife's not asleep. Mrs. Palmore did a great job. She sang and now she's asleep. All right, Brother Mrs. Wilson, come back up, if you will. Just come on back up. No, Mrs. Palmore's not asleep. The one you hear snoring is really not her. Okay? And that's the three guys in front of her. Okay? But now watch this, if you will. Last illustration. But understand this. Just come over here and stand, Brother Brian right here, and right over here, Mrs. Wilson right here. Okay, so Brother Brian, you're right here. All right, Mrs. Wilson. All right, now watch this, okay? So all of a sudden, he decides that he's going to get out of the will of God. Go sit down out of the will of God. All right? Now, what should she do? Should she throw up her hands and say, that's it? I mean, she's standing all by herself. Looks pretty pitiful, too, if you ask me. But she's standing all by herself. All right, so what should she do? Should she just say, well, you know, my husband's not serving God, so therefore I quit? Well, if she does that and she does not become responsible, does he have anybody to come back to? Does he have anybody to look up to? Does he have anybody that will help him? Are you listening to me? Where's the kids going to wind up? Where's the kids going to wind up? If somebody's not encouraging and somebody's not helping, then where's the kids going to wind up? Now, I would hope, here's the perfect home. Come here, Emily. You can be a part of the perfect home. Okay? Come here. I'm sorry, Brother Brian. All right, watch this. Come here, Emily. Now, the perfect home is this, and here's closing scenario. Here's the perfect home. Perfect home is that God, through his son, gives the charge through the man, through the wife, the woman, if you will, please, down through the children, and everybody obeys God. That is good. Because when you go home, you get to talk about what God did. When you go home, you get excited about things that God did. When you go home, it's not talking about, well, and not arguing and throwing pots and pans at each other to see who can hit the noggin the fastest. You know, it's not, you know, him getting mad and saying, well, I can't stand you and I'm going to drive around the block until I cool off. You know, I mean, it's nothing like that. But what it is, it's harmony. You know, then all of a sudden when the man of God is up preaching, you know, Brother Brian is raising his hand, and boy, he's raising his hand, and he's all excited, and Mrs. Wilson is looking at husband and smiling like a Mrs. Goober, and Emily is all, you know, smiling, and you know, and there's harmony there. See, don't you want that for your home? Don't you want it where you know, there's, you enjoy church? Where you come to church and say, boy, you know, boy, let me tell you what I got out of that message. By the way, if you dig for gold, you always find some. You can't come to church and say, well, I tell you what, you know, boy, that was just such a boring thing that he talked about tonight. You go home and tell your kids that over and over again. When they come to church, they're bringing their own pillow like Mrs. Palmore. I mean, like her daughter. And so, you know, you have got to be careful that you betray Christ the way that he should be betrayed in people's lives, understood in people's lives. All right? And so we understand this, that man has a responsibility. What is that? Now, by the way, someday you young men are going to grow up. We hope. But you're going to grow up. You know what I see? Let me tell you what I see. Here's what I see. Mom and dad, faithful to church, but you never got it. Maybe because dad didn't have the spiritual insight to teach you how important it was. You know, maybe because dad just never set you down and said, look, let me tell you why you need to be in church all the time. Let me tell you why you need to put God first. I don't know. But here's what I see. I see a lot of young people that have parents that go to church, but they're young people when they grow up, they don't go to church. Now, let me tell you why I believe some of that is happening is because there was not a transfer. You know, God wants you to be a spiritual parent and teach your child to be spiritual. I see kids that go to Christian schools over America, and Dr. Bolke, you do a good job being a principal, but did you know I see kids go to Christian schools over America, and here's what they do. The minute that they get out of the academy is the very second that everything drops that's spiritual. Everything drops. You know, you can't find them. They're out there. And I'm not talking about just sin. Man, they get involved in wicked sin. You know why? Because somebody didn't do right somewhere. Something didn't catch. Or maybe you taught it, but it didn't catch. Come on. I do know parents. You watch this. Come over here and sit down, if you will. One of those doesn't matter. Watch this. Here's dad and mom. You know, dad and mom doing everything. Then all of a sudden they got a brat. Boy, they know you. But you got a brat for a daughter. And the daughter says, I am not going to do that. I don't care what you have to say. I'm not going to do it. And gets in your face. Okay. All right. Now, wait a minute. Okay. First off, I know the parents and she wouldn't live. But watch this, or they silently rebel. You know, they silently break it off. When they come home at night, they don't talk to mom and dad. They go straight to their room. They spend more time on their iPad and more time on their iPhone and more time on their other I stuff because it's all about I. And all they ever do, they don't talk to, they'll sit in the same room and will not have a conversation with mom and dad to sit in the same room, but yet they'll have a conversation with another teenager on a phone. Yeah. Let me tell you what you're doing as a young person. You are drawing away from the relationship that could help you the best. See, here's a young lady that says, okay, I am not going to do it. I know you want me to go soul winning, but I don't feel good. Well, how long are you going to be sick? If you're going to be sick that long, you need a shot. Well, you know, I tell you what, I just don't like going to that church. Okay, where do you want to go? What is your spirituality? See, when you say stuff like that, here's what you're doing. You're telling off only on you. You're not telling off on anybody else. So here's a young lady, okay? But young lady gets right with God. She comes forward. She fills out a decision slip. We say, hooray, hooray, hooray. Mom is all happy, and she's smiling. Now Emily's got her smile back, and that's good. And Dad's all excited. All right, and that's the way that God meant it to be. Well, why can't we get that? Why can't we understand that? Why can't you ladies that your husbands are not faithful, why can't you beseech them and say, look, do we realize, can we have a talk? Do we realize the example that we're not setting in front of our children? Can we have a talk? Why can't we be real with each other in the home? And why can't you talk to your wife and say, honey, look, let me tell you, there's more at stake than just going to church and sitting in a pew. We are building a life. And in building a life, with this life that we're trying to build, we have to be careful because that life is watching us. Why can't we understand the importance? And by the way, if you want to come down, Jesus only established one institution. Just one. That was the church. That's what he established. By the way, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Creator God. And God said, I've got one son that's going to establish one institution, and it's going to be called the church. So that shows you the significance of that institution in your life. All right, so why don't we decide that we're going to take and get the whole family excited about, hey, look, give it a shot. My wife and I are drinking some horrible stuff. She brought me some stuff tonight. And I said, honey, you gotta be kidding. And she said, I drank it. And I said, See, the other night I made it. And when I made it straight with greens. I'm putting all the greens in there and forget it, you know. We're just going to, man, the whole kitchen smelt like that you raided somebody's garden and chopped it up. You know, all right, but wait a minute. And so, but we're drinking this stuff. Are you listening to me? Do I feel like Superman? I don't even look like Superman. But is there going to be a benefit in that in the long run? I think so. You know, sometimes we have to do some things that just doesn't set well with us to begin with so that we get the greater good out of it. Now, I say this tonight, that it's important that we understand how things ought to line up. And here's what it says, last verse I'll read. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. But preacher, I've got an authority in my life, and I tell you, I'm just not agreeing with that. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it. He turneth it whithersoever he wisteth. So he said, I have the ability to turn the heart. Can't we trust him for that? Can't we trust him to turn somebody's heart? He can do that, you know.